B-Pod Studios.
Listening at home to Toucher and Rich is simple with your Amazon or Google smart speaker.
Oh, I need one of those.
Just say, play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
.985 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. And I was afforded my vacation for quite a few days. Only one being spent for 12 hours. Thank you to the engineers who helped. Because their lives were as miserable as mine that day. Getting my stupid box that Rich gets to work every time. It didn't work. But I was on once last week. But needless to say, I was at my parents'. And one of the golden goose, the holy grail of going to my parents' house, is riding the boat. Mm-hmm. Now, the boat has always been, it's always been a situation where it's easy to pull off out of the dock, because the dock, it has something that raises the boat.
So real quick, just kind of to describe where you're at. Like, you live, if I'm not mistaken, like on like this huge lake, right? And okay, your parents have this house just off the lake. Is that right?
It's on the lake. It's they live in a cove that's part of a lake that's miles and miles and miles long.
Like, okay, you know, all right.
I can't even tell you how many miles long and wide it is. Let's put it this way: it would take you half a day probably to get to where the lake ends. All right. So, but the boat goes up on this like ramp. But to pull in, you only get literally like 6 inches on each side. Now, the boat is, you know, there's water and waves and things of that nature. Not easy to pull in. It takes some trickery. Hmm. Well, I'll tell you what. I came in there and I said, I'll. And usually what happens is that I'll start trying to pull it in and my father will start screaming at me. And then I'll start screaming. And then I'll go, you park your own stupid boat and then we won't go out on it again. But this time, the kids had been to camp. They had done tubing. So I said, you know what? I was feeling confident. It was my second day there. Said, you know, let's take this bad boy for a spin. Get it out, no problem. Pulling the kids around. They're not hitting any docks. They're living. No crying except for my daughter. So then I go to pull it in. And booty, booty, booty. I get that sumbitch in like there's no tomorrow. Well, now, I'm cocky. Now, have a little lunch. Going to go back out there and do it. Get back out there. Super confident, standing up. This is no sweat. I pull the boat in, and I realize, like, I might nick one of the PVC pipes that helps pull it up. Don't want to do that. Maybe if I get a little gas, I'll get control of it, and I'll just jam it in reverse and be able to do it. So I jam on the old gas and smash into one of the pillars of the dock, thereby making a big hole in the fiberglass. And I said, oh, boy, you know, I'm sorry. Has anyone ever done this before? And they both went, no. No one's ever done this before. And this is a community where some woman drunk drove her car up onto their front yard. So this is not, you know, these are feeble old people.
Right.
And they're still not doing that.
How's the dock?
The dock is not damaged. You have to understand, this is big pillars, but the boat is damaged. So I scared the kids enough that they didn't want to go tubing again. So that was out of the way. So everything's fine. We're flying home. And we used miles, and so I don't blame this on Stephanie, but have you ever flown through that garbage hole, Charlotte?
Yeah, I have. Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's a hellhole, and it can take 5 hours. So we're on this plane, a 28-minute flight from Knoxville to Charlotte. Of course, it doesn't take off. We get in the air at 5:15 or 4:15. We need to get out, or at 4:45. We need to get on our flight at 6. Still a possibility. So it takes off. We land, and there's a thunderstorm, so they won't bring us to our gate. So I'm going to miss this flight. Stephanie calls the airline, and books us. She says, is anything open for any of the flights tonight? They say no. So she books us a flight for 7:20 the next morning. Hangs up the phone, and a guy goes, not so fast. I work for American. Now, I work for the airline. And so because I wasn't sitting with my wife, so I don't know, like, if he was, like, hitting on her or what. But miraculously, he makes a phone call, and my wife and two kids are sitting together, and I have an exit row seat going on a flight that night. So how is that possible? What do the airlines do to make it that you call and ask if you can get on a plane, and they say no, but they have three tickets together in an exit seat?
It's got to be because there are certain seats that are designated for Medallion members, Sky Miles, that type of thing. Like people who, you know, are the next level flyer. You know, the people who have the status because they're business travelers.
Okay, what if there's nobody on the flight though?
What's that?
What if there's nobody on the flight? It doesn't make any sense.
I think that they keep those reserved until like last minute, and for standby people, they end up giving to them if they're not. But this seemed like there was a decent amount of hours between when you were there and when it was going to take off, right?
No, like an hour. Like,
it was just like 1 hour?
Yeah.
I still think that they give those seats to standby people if Medallion people don't end up using it. So
then what? You're screwed?
You do not get any preferential treatment unless you are somebody who spends tons of money.
It's not preferential treatment. It's wanting to get on a flight that's got openings on it.
No, I know it's not preferential treatment. They're giving that preferential treatment to the people who do have Medallion status. But that just happens all the time.
Yeah, but I don't understand what if they're not on the flight, then they don't get the seat. So they're just going to fly with empty seats?
No, they're going to. If there's anybody who is on standby, they usually give it to them.
Okay, what if there isn't?
Then I guess they fly with empty seats. Yeah.
So the strategy is not to fill the plane?
Not to make money.
Well, you weren't going to give them any money, I don't think. I think that wouldn't that just have been, isn't that already a paid for flight?
It would have been, it was a flight that I paid for, but there was open seats. Why wouldn't they want to fill the plane? Right. Good customer service. I mean, so what? So on the off chance, some guy who's a Medallion member wants to fly standby? I can't get a seat on the plane?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's just the way it works.
I don't know if that's the way it works. All I know is that there was a guy that was making our flight. He's a guy. He had a University of Michigan shirt on, and he was pushing around these bags, and he was flying standby on the flight to Charlotte, and he had this dumb earpiece in, and he was talking and talking and talking, and then he got on the plane, and he was talking and talking and talking, and he stood in the aisle, and I just went, no!
Just went no.
Yeah, sit the F down.
You yelled at a guy in the plane?
Oh yeah, I do it all the time. I just said no, because I wanted to take off. Because at that point, he's putting his own, like, look at me, I'm on the phone. He's probably like, you know, a wrestling coach or something. Like, who cares?
Well, did you hear about that flight that was stuck on the runway for 8 hours, and at the end of it, there was an actual fist fight that came out of it?
Well, I could totally see that.
Oh, me too. I mean, it's like it's a pressure cooker, right? Ready to boil. I mean, you're sitting on a runway, like looking at where you're supposed, where you just get out. I mean, just the amount of people who want to eat, or just, you know.
Oh yeah, they gave us water. The airplane, they gave us a nice little cup of water.
So what's even better, too, is like when they have to turn the fans off because I guess for some reason they need to conserve energy on the plane. So you're sitting there just sweating while you're sitting there on the runway, which just happens a lot, too, as well.
Yeah, they have to turn off the engines and they can't handle all the bathrooms and all of those things.
I just got this tweet. Somebody said, my sister is a counter manager for one of the airlines. Those seats always remain open for the business travelers and for the frequent flyers to upgrade. That's exactly what I was talking about. Well, if they aren't filled, standby passengers get them, even if it's first class. It's just how the airlines run the business.
Well, it's a stupid way to run the business. Paul, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. My mom actually flew down. I live in Raleigh now, and she flew down here. And basically, like, she had a first-class flight, and they last minute, they changed the flight, or they changed the plane, rather, to, like, a smaller plane, so there was less seats. And she had bought a first-class ticket. She was in seat 2A, which that seat existed on the old plane and on the new plane, but she, like, never flies. And she got bumped off of first class and into a coach seat, and they didn't even tell her. She had to, like, look up the flight status and saw that her seat changed, and she was like, what the hell? So, I don't know, man. It was pretty crazy. So she, like, called, and they basically were like, yeah, the seat, we gave the seat to somebody else. Like, it's too, like, basically too bad. And, yeah, I'm pretty sure that that's what happened with that situation, too. Like, you know, someone who had, like, a higher flight status who flies a lot ended up getting the seat, and she got bumped.
See, I don't understand it, because they're flying anyway. I mean, they're flying anyway. If you have open seats and someone wants them, then give them to the people who want them. I mean, that guy obviously wasn't just, like, it was someone who worked for the airline. I mean,
there was a situation one time where my wife went, she was flying back from New Orleans, and they ended up having to move to a smaller plane, and essentially it was like half the size, so they randomly picked one half of the plane that couldn't fly back for another 2 days, and the other half got to fly, and Mary was one of the people who was picked not to fly, and so she did actually something kind of amazing. I tell you what, my wife is the sweetest person in the world. You piss her off, she just becomes a monster, and it's awesome. Like, she's the best advocate for herself I've ever seen. She refused to leave the counter at the New Orleans airport until they got her a seat. Like, they were saying next, and she was going, nope. And she just stood there until one person after the next.
Oh, I would have hated her.
Oh,
if you're someone
but
else.
But she
on
got
that
on
plane?
A plane, good for her.
No.
It was like,
they should have thrown her in jail.
It was the best. And so she ended up turning around, and like, this guy was like, how did you get on the plane? And he's just like, well, you better fight for yourself.
No, she should have been thrown in jail.
No, it was the best.
How many people were behind her?
A ton of people.
Yeah, who wanted to get on that plane, but she has to sit there and take up all the room and sit there yelling?
Yep.
I would have called police.
You screw me over, I'm not leaving until you fix
my
problem.
But you're screwing everyone else over.
No, you're not. They're already screwed. Those people don't have tickets.
Yeah, but they could have been, well, they could have gotten a ticket if there wasn't someone throwing a tantrum at the counter not leaving.
She advocated for her ticket. She got there before they did, and she didn't leave, and she got the ticket.
Well, that would have been terrible. She should have been arrested.
Why would the people behind her deserve the ticket more than her?
Because they were doing it in an orderly fashion. They were
yes,
doing
and
it
she was first. If it's an orderly fashion, she was first.
Yeah, and they tell you to go scram.
Yep, so, and so she said, took nope, so she you took screwed me. Get me on this plane.
So they took a ticket from someone who had a ticket on the flight?
No, it was one of those seats you're talking about. She was able to get on.
Well, it sounds to me like she left. She was very inconsiderate. Very inconsiderate to the people behind her. I don't know why, though. I can't believe those airlines keep those seats open.
I know, it does suck.
Yeah.
And I don't understand why they do it. I have no idea where they pull that stuff.
Yeah, it's terrible. All right, we will talk to Jeff Howe in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Listening at home to Toucher and Rich is simple with your Amazon or Google smart speaker.
Oh, I need one of those.
Just say, play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. And I was afforded my vacation for quite a few days, only one being spent for 12 hours, thank you to the engineers who helped, because their lives were as miserable as mine that day.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Okay, so I don't know where you're going with this, but I'm excited.
Toucher and Rich.
Hang on to your hat. Because I got a take a coming.
On Boston's home for sports.
Take train.
Is
it the take train?
95, the Sports Hub.
Well, joining me now is Patriot head coach Bill Belichick. Before I even want to talk about the first half,
I do want to bring up Josh Gordon, because you put out a statement earlier today. Anything you'd like to add to that?
Nope.
Not at all?
No, that's why I put out the statement.
Okay. All right. Good luck in the second half.
Now in motion comes Jacoby Myers from the far to the near side. Hoyer calling signal. Sets out, fakes the give to Bolden. Looks, throws, and it is caught. 2-point conversion is good. Jacoby Myers was wide open, beat Ty Smith. And there you have it. We are tied at 8.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Jeff Howe covers the Patriots for TheAthletic.com. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Jeff Howe, how much longer are we going to have to deal with this long-haired kid from Michigan that's annoying me?
Quite a while, I think. That's how it's shaping up.
It's a bit of a try-hard.
that's who he is. I mean, that's how he's always been. He's kind of he's always had a loud personality. And, you know, I wrote a feature about him right after the draft. And, again, this is him. He's like the new Gronk.
Yeah, do you find him annoying?
So, look, I wrote this feature about him after the draft. I went into it thinking it was going to be about this guy who, you know, he's this goofy personality. He eats a whole fish, you know, on a dare and all this. He does all these, like, fun things, and it turned into finding out that he's huge in the Chad Tough Foundation out in Michigan. He's a really kind-hearted kid who gives back, works with kids who are dealing with some problems, has done that in high school, has done it in college. And,
all right, well, now you're taking my legs out from underneath.
You feel pretty bad now, don't you, Fred?
Yeah, now what are you saying? I can't not like the guy? Now you got to bring up all this charity stuff? Well, yeah. My Lord, yeah. How?
Really trying to make you feel terrible.
I mean, you just, hey, a-hole, this guy's basically saving the world. What are you doing? Just bad-mouthing him.
This Jesus fella, I got a problem.
I'll tell you what.
You say about him?
this guy, he gives 99% of his money to pediatric cancer research. Whoops.
But the dude's a stud, though, like on the field.
Take it back. I will take it back.
Obviously, the guy is a great person. And I unlike Fred, find him any kind of personality in an NFL locker room is entertaining.
You jam him and Harbaugh together, though, and that's a whole lot of giggy.
Now, that's true. That's got to be too much. But his play, when you watch him, Jeff, like everything seems to be saying that this guy's not going to be on the second team for that much longer, don't you think?
Oh, 100%. And that's another thing that's kind of followed him throughout his career, too. I mean, he changed positions a couple different times at Michigan, and they tried him out at a few spots. And, you know, he finally worked his way up as a special teamer, I believe, when he got to his junior year. And he's just one of those guys who he's just going to practice his tail off and hope eventually the coaches are going to reward him with playing time in games. And that's Belichick's MO. If you go out and you practice as hard as possible, he's going to find a way for you to get on the field in some capacity in a game. And you look at the defensive end depth chart, there's opportunities for growth there. I mean, it's basically Michael Bennett. John Simon is going to be like their big edge setter type of guy. But then you're going to look for some of these young kids who are going to step up and try to get after the quarterback. And so far, I mean, a lot of it is obviously against backup competition, but he's got more than a quarter of the disruptions that the Patriots have getting after the quarterback in two preseason games. And as you see, he's one of those nonstop motor sort of guys. And you saw that as he sort of chased down, I think it was Woodside the other night when he was scrambling out and only gained a yard when it looked like he had a lot more, you know, coming from the other side of the field. He does that stuff at practice, too. He used to get his teammates in Michigan fired up. You know, some of them would take exception to how hard he practiced. But what you see in games is what we've kind of seen out of him in practice over the last 3 weeks as well. So it's all consistent.
Okay, so Jeff, how shocked were you by the NFL's announcement that Josh Gordon was reinstated?
Pretty shocked. I was on the bar at Old Red in the rooftop, so that was great timing.
I mean, it just kind of came out of nowhere. Was there any, or did it? Like, was there any behind the scenes jockeying by the Patriots that you heard about, any pressure that anyone was putting on the league?
Yeah, and how does the league even decide these matters? Is there any rhyme or reason to it?
Doesn't appear to be. I mean, honestly, it's this came out of nowhere. It was a, what was it, a 6:30 Friday news dump. I mean, it was, when they do these things, and it's weird because this is a reinstatement. This wasn't a suspension. So usually they try to get these news dumps, you know, 4:45, 5 o'clock on a Friday, and then they go home for the weekend and just, you know, kick up their feet and they don't have to deal with it. This was after business hours. So it was really strange. And, you know, I've seen people report. I don't have anything to add to it. I mean, I've seen the reports. The Kraft helped broker the deal with Jay-Z and the NFL earlier in the week. And then obviously Gordon comes back. I mean, Gordon filed for the reinstatement a couple weeks prior. So, you know, the timeline isn't totally out of nowhere.
That's interesting. That's actually interesting. So you think that there might be something to the, I don't want to say conspiracy theory, that because it sounds like the Krafts did them, the NFL and Roger Goodell, kind of a solid by helping repair their image with this whole Jay-Z thing, that maybe in return they said, well, here's our little kiss back to you. You got Josh Gordon.
No, look, I have nothing to add to that. I don't know if it's true or not. I'm just going off of what other people have written. I have no idea. I don't even know anything about the Kraft Jay-Z stuff. I was just kind of, you know, throwing the stuff I've read out there.
But it's an interesting theory. That is an interesting theory, though, in the timing, is that, you know, listen, they did do something that the NFL would perceive as a real solid for the league. I mean, they helped out with their image, which obviously they've had a huge problem with over the last couple of years. And you know what? You're right. The timing would kind of make sense if this was indeed a little bit of a gift in return for that.
Look, it's possible. And there's never been a comparable case to Josh Gordon and what he's kind of gone through with the league over the last several years. And the league has handled it as such. I mean, there's no precedent. So it's like at their own whim, their own discretion, what Josh Gordon's fate is with the Patriots or the Browns in the past or just his football future in general. And it's been difficult. You know, we've talked about it before. It's been difficult to try to get any answers from the league. You call them or you email them and they say, nope, there's no update. And that's it. They leave it at that. I mean, you ask all the right questions. Yeah, I remember you guys asked me something that I asked the league right around the same timeline. Wouldn't it make sense to be a little more open about this, or at least in a way to give Josh Gordon some, you know, a routine, a schedule with the NFL? Wouldn't something like that help him rehabilitate? And mm-hmm. the league just didn't acknowledge anything along those lines. It's just, again, no update, no response.
All right, so how is he going to be on the field?
And what are the conditions? Because that's kind of – we don't know what they're going to be monitoring other than him not failing another drug test. It sounds like there's more than just that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Again, it's a total guess. And it could be – you know, they could be working with the team to make sure that he's doing the right things or at least acting appropriately. You know, he had some issues last year being late, and that's well documented, missing some meetings, or I don't know if he missed any meetings, but he was late to some stuff. He showed up a little late to a bus for that Buffalo road trip later in the season. So, you know, maybe the league is going to check in on stuff like that to make sure that, you know, the team is as happy with him as they want them to be. So who knows? It could be a lot of different things along with passing those drug tests.
All right. You had 32 observations from the Patriots win over the Titans. Give us all 32.
Okay. Can I start with the 67 that I had going into it?
Yeah.
Sure.
Just knock them all out right away.
Well, I think you got to like Damian Harris, right? I mean, that was one thing that really stuck out. He was a kid who kind of had a terrific spring and then started off as such in training camp. Then he injured the right hand and wrist and was, you know, missed a couple weeks there, was at least limited for a couple weeks. So what we saw on Saturday night in Tennessee is kind of what we've been seeing at practice over the duration or the majority of the offseason. Isaiah Wynn was a rock. He played three series, didn't allow anyone to get near the quarterback going against starting competition. So that's a good sign. That's consistent from what we've seen at practice. Last week was the first week that he was out there at all with the first team. And for two of the three practices that he practiced with the starters. It was on a rotational basis. So, but every time he was locked up with somebody, they never got by him. So that's really encouraging. And then for three series, the Patriots backups were tied with the Titans starters. And I think that's a pretty good sign about their depth, or at least a good indication that, you know, the starters are doing what they need to be doing against a quality opponent. And I think it was a pretty good week for them. It was two disgustingly hot practices against a physical team that really handled them pretty well last year in Nashville. And the Patriots, they put a lot of pressure on themselves going into Nashville last week to have a good week, because they knew that this was a much higher quality opponent than the Lions they saw the week before. And I thought the Patriots handled it all pretty well.
All right, Jeff Howell, you can read his musings on The Athletic. We always appreciate the time, sir.
Thanks for having me, guys. Have a good one.
All right, we do appreciate it. All right, Rich, we will have the headlines, and then we will return.
98.5, the sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Nap. No parents, no rules, no shirts, and best of all, it's Tutcher and Rich.
I read you loud and clear.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Tutcher and Rich. Go to the Sports Hub store, you lazy bastards. What are you, some kind of commie? You want everything handed to you? There's T-shirts, mugs for all the shows, more on the way, 98.5thesportshub.com, and look for the store button. So I was, I wanted to see what had gone on the show when I was gone. So last night I take a look at the Tutcher and Rich Twitter page, and I was glad to find out that Rich had retweeted someone who said, "Fire Fred," which was
no, I didn't.
Oh, yes, you did.
No, I did not. Look at my feed. There's no way I retweeted someone who said, "Fire Fred."
Said hashtag got fire Fred.
I don't even think I did that.
All right, let me look. I'm not mad,
but you might have seen a tweet that came to us that said that, but I wouldn't have retweeted something like that.
It said
Francesa.
Yes. This week has been amazing on Murray and Rich. Hashtag fire Fred. Hashtag get Joe Murray full time. Hashtag get blasted.
I don't think I retweeted that.
Mike Lockhart?
Yeah, it's retweeted.
Oh goodness. Mike.
By me?
By you?
Okay, well, I did not see the Fire Fred
thing. Fire Fred?
It might have been the get Joe Murray full time thing that I saw.
Well, you saw Fired Fred.
Well, that was a dick move. I shouldn't have done that. If I did that,
I was busting balls.
Dick move.
I don't care.
Wow.
I don't care. But I am fascinated by the stories of Wallach. And, all right, so one day Rich and I were out, and it was Marshall, Hook, and Flynn. And Marshall, Hook is the voice that you hate to hear because it means the weekend's over. Mm. Like you're driving around on like a Sunday evening and the weekend's over. And so it was Hook and Flynn, and they had Wallach doing the headlines. So I guess Zolak came in and was like, "Hey, how's that? 10 years at the station, you're still not being able to be first or second chair." So, Rich, I'm hearing that Wallach was in all his glory.
Oh, it was great. It was great. I mean, he, like, first of all, I didn't realize that this was a thing that was pissing him off. I had no idea.
I just figured that it was because it was obvious. He wasn't talented enough to do it.
No, it's just one of those things where, you know how the show works. I mean, like on the days when you're not here, if somebody was to fill in, and it doesn't happen that often, who is a normal update guy, like, because usually it's like someone like Ted Johnson, or we've had Dan Roach in the past. But if it's like Joe Murray, who we've had fill in before, who does updates, I don't even think about it. I just come walking into the studio. John's doing his job. I'm doing mine. And Joe Murray is there as like a third voice. And so it didn't even occur to me until, you know, I was doing like a Q&A or something with some of our listeners. And they're like, "Why does John Wallach why do you guys never move him away from doing headlines? And for me, I was like,
did you say because he has no comedic timing or any kind of personality?
But there's no difference in the amount. See, unlike, well, I guess every show is kind of like this now. Like, the headline chair talks as much as everybody else. Hardy talks as much as anyone else on Zolak and Bertrand. Definitely Wallach does. So I didn't think there was any sort of difference, but I guess this is something that means a lot to John. So I'm like, okay, well, maybe I've been a dick and not, like, said,
got
all right,
nothing to do with you.
Yeah, right.
It has nothing to do with you, and I don't think it's anything against John. But let's get back to just how John was feeling.
Oh yeah.
All right. So Lockhart, you were here before 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yes.
And his first day. This is his first day that he was sitting in the
Day coming in. It was he usually gets here like right at 5, and it was like 5:30, and he walked over to his normal seat where he does headlines from, and then walked over to another seat where he was going to sit, and he just kept going back and forth for like 3 straight minutes. He didn't know where to sit.
Yeah, he was getting just the gold chair, baby. the thorns, baby. That's right. He was going to be in the magical. So did he have a little bit of swagger to him?
Oh my God, Fred! Are you kidding me?
He was walking with a step, definitely.
I've heard that from Dan as well. Is that he was like bebopping around here, like it was nobody's business.
I said it on the air. He was a human Big Johnson T-shirt come to life. Like all the confidence in the world, just like.
Can you imagine? He's in his 50s, and they just had to move a chair over, and he's that excited about it.
I mean, it was great. It was great, and you know, and he did, and he just, boy, the dude couldn't stop talking. He was busting balls, and was he doing it
successfully?
No. They weren't really landing, but either way, it was entertaining to me just because to see him like that just it cracked me up, and so it's almost like. I can't wait till you host with him one day and like Joe Murray is there and he gets moved over to the seat because I just can't wait for you to walk in and just see him grinning from ear to ear like putting his hands behind his head as Joe's doing the headlines instead of him.
I'll nip that in the bud within 2 seconds.
He was nitpicking me on the headlines, by the way, too.
He was what?
Nitpicking my headlines.
Well, Dan, go ahead.
So real quick, in the morning, in one of the breaks, we do time and temperature and Joe went to go read the sponsor and didn't start the break with the time and temperature, and John can see into the control room, and he turned around and he was like, had the finger like tisk tisk tisk, like Joe forgot to do the time and temp. So I said something in Joe's ear and we came out of the break with the bed music, and Joe said the time is, you know, whatever time it's, 72 degrees, and Wallach was like, yeah, like, because I bust John's balls all the time on that, I really do,
yeah,
in his headphones, and John just had this look on his face like, I noticed that,
yeah, you baby that. Now they got some time to breathe. Now that I got some time to take it in, John, go ahead.
Hey guys, hey.
Hey.
So I knew something had changed that first Wednesday when he was first officially co-hosting. You guys were talking about the Rob Gronkowski press conference.
Yeah.
And I feel like Wallach had to come in and deliver a steaming take on this one. Because you referred to just a simple press conference as, quote, messed up. And it just seemed like he was trying way too hard.
I'm John Wallach on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Oh, I wish I was here.
It was funny. It was very funny. I mean, every once in a while, I would just look at Dan, and Dan and I would just start laughing.
Yeah,
I mean, he was feeling it. Absolutely feeling it.
I
was kind of nurturing it, too, to be quite honest. It was making me laugh so much.
Did you keep going like, you're doing such a good job?
No, not in that way. It would just, like, he'd be sitting back and he'd be like, look at you, man, swinging it like a cane. And he would just, like, I think he used the term Captain Blank, like, 4 times in one show. Look at you, Captain Nantucket, or something like that. Like, he used it, like, 15, it was, like, a gratuitous amount. Like, that was his one go-to slam.
Because it was the first time, probably, since Camp Young Judea, where he was able to break balls, where he was in a situation where he was not the beta.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. I did, to be quite honest.
All right. Antonio Brown is causing problems, and the Raiders are being very Raider-like, and we will discuss that coming up.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Dutcher and Rich on Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
People can always talk and try to bring you down. I just think it's tough for the people that love me, you know, the people that know me and actually have to hear it when they know the type of person I'm is and what I stand for. So, you know, I hate when my mom called me and, like, my dad called me, like, what the retirement? Like, where you get that from? I'm like, yeah, I never said that, but... That's the hardest part, you know, for me as an athlete. You got to have tough skin and not be able to pay attention to what people say because, you know, everyone don't really hate me, maybe a small percentage of people. So I like to focus on the big picture, but, you know, if you guys could calm it down, man, it's really distracting my family.
Yeah, well, if it's distracting your family, I mean, why talk about it? I mean, that's only fair. 98.5 The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. That is the voice of Antonio Brown. He who was let go, basically, by the Steelers. And he's a guy who is, in the past, under the strict disciplinarian Mike Tomlin, the strictest coach in all of the NFL, a man who is rules with an iron fist. I mean, it's like one of those things. Like, if you can't get along with it, with Tomlin, like, who are you going to get along with? He was the guy who Facebooked himself, Facebook lived himself in the locker room after a Pittsburgh, I believe, loss
during a team meet. No, it was a win, but it was during a team meeting. He did it. So in the background, Tomlin's talking to the team, and he's Facebook living and not paying attention. That was kind of one of the first signs of. All right, well, maybe this guy isn't the most respectful. And then, of course, everything that happened, you know, with him at Roethlisberger, him not showing up for practices, and then just on the, you know, the day before saying, hey, I'm going to play. And Tomlin, the one thing that I liked Tomlin for doing was he said, no, you're not playing. You know, you missed this week of practice. You're not going to be playing. And now you've got a situation where Antonio Brown not only jacked up his feet, whether that's his fault or it's someone else's fault, I don't know. But even if you took that completely out of it, this helmet situation is so bat crap crazy. The fact that he tried to get his old helmet back at one of the practices by painting it, like, which if Hard Knocks can't find that helmet or footage of him using a helmet that was painted the Raiders colors, then what good is Hard Knocks?
That's like something out of The Little Rascals.
Yeah, oh, totally, Fred. And I need to see the paint job.
Yeah.
And it seems to me that the first two episodes of Hard Knocks, they've been protecting Antonio Brown. They've either been not spending enough time on this issue, or the only thing they'll really show from it is like a news report. Well, I think all gloves are off, and here's why, is that when a team does Hard Knocks, the one thing that these teams have pushed for and they've gotten is a little bit of editorial control. They get to kind of say what ends up making the air and what doesn't. And for a while, it seemed like, listen, the Raiders don't want Antonio Brown to get pissed off. We need to do everything we can to make sure that he's happy. Well, now that's over with. Because finally, Mike Mayock comes out and just starts throwing haymakers with a lisp, of course. So they're not, it's not like two brutal haymakers when it's said with that kind of effect, affliction.
He has a speech impediment?
Yeah, believe it or not, Mike Mayock. It's very, very
I know,
tough.
I'm being serious. I didn't know that.
Mike Mayock?
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Of course he does. Yes. But on top of that, but this is one of those things, too, where Antonio Brown returned and he did, you know, when the whole helmet thing happened, they said that, you know, you're going to have to come back. He, you know, there's no loophole. He kind of conceded, showed up, and for their preseason game, did some warm ups before the game, but didn't play. But then afterwards, ended up leaving. And he's still gone because he's pissed off about this helmet thing. As a matter of fact, he's saying it's prejudice. He put out a tweet yesterday. Pro Football took...
Well, it's racist.
Well, he called the NFL N-words for life, super prejudice, unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, this is... of all the things you could accuse the NFL of being, and I'm sure... which is a million things, I would put this helmet thing up there directly affecting African-American athletes.
Yeah, this is... It's so strange... But the fact that Mayock is now coming out.
That is the worst cry. Is that true? Did he really say that it was equating to racism?
Here is the tweet. He retweeted an article from Pro Football Talk that says NFL apparently stands for no effing loophole when he's talking about the helmet. And he retweeted it and put, NFL, N-words for life, super prejudice, unbelievable.
So now how in any way is this helmet rule that affects everybody in the NFL – except for white guys. No, that affects everyone in the NFL. How can we even come to a conclusion?
Yeah, well, originally when he was complaining about it, this was like 2 weeks ago. This has been going on for a while. He ended up saying that Aaron Rodgers has been able to use his old helmet, and then somebody from the front office of the Raiders texted him a video of Aaron Rodgers having to use the new helmet, and Tom Brady as well. I think that those are the two examples that he threw out there were Brady and Rodgers. But now he's seeing that, no, these guys had to change as well, and I don't know why he's still continuing with this, but here's
Mike Mayock. He thought the NFL would make a rule that allowed those two guys to wear their old helmets, but no one else's?
Yeah, and he was wrong about that. I will say this, though. The one beef that he really does have is there was some sort of communication issue with the NFL and him. They told him that if he could find a helmet within the last 10 years, that it was eligible. Well, he found one, and the NFL, I believe, eradicated it.
No. They found it, and it didn't pass a safety test.
Yeah, that's what it was.
This was a random helmet.
Was it one of those Rydell ones that came with the when you were a kid?
It was actually a phone was attached to it. It was actually a helmet phone. So what happened was, yeah.
But he did find it. I don't know what the safety rules was, but again, like, he did find one. Like, and now, like, he's upset that he can't wear it. I mean, that's maybe it is the NFL sticking it to him, Rich. But I mean, I'd love to know more about that safety thing. He did find a helmet, but they didn't pass it.
Yeah,
maybe,
but just because it's a helmet that was made in that year doesn't mean that it passes the safety test. You don't know what that helmet's been through. So it didn't pass, and Mayock's finally enough, because he ended up going home, and he's still not there. So here's Mike Mayock, who's now, believe it or not, the GM of the Raiders, which is, once again, unbelievably strange.
I don't know why they just don't use Mark Davis's helmet.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm sure it's available. So here is Mike Mayock.
You all know that AB is not here today, right? So here's the bottom line. He's upset about the helmet issue. We have supported that. We appreciate that. Okay? But at this point, we've pretty much exhausted all avenues of relief. So from our perspective, it's time for him to be all in. We're all out. Okay? So we're hoping he's back soon. We got 89 guys busting their tails. We are really excited about where this franchise is going, and we hope AB is going to be a big part of it starting week one against Denver. End of story. No question.
Like, I wonder if the Raiders are going to use this episode of Hard Knocks to embarrass Antonio Brown, and thinking that that's an effective way to get him come back.
That's a very dangerous move.
Oh, it's dangerous as hell. But then again, this is the Raiders organization, and Mayock's come straight out, and they're now officially pissed. And Drew Rosenhaus, when he's not like karate chopping kick-ass boards in his gi for the people of 60 Minutes, there he is, my man.
Does that hand much. Still work?
Yeah, everything's great.
That is one of my favorite clips that we have in our system. He came out, and he's the agent of Antonio Brown, and defended, once again, his client. Here we go.
We've worked very closely with the Raiders, and we will continue to work very closely with the Raiders. I'm not sure that we agree that we've exhausted all the options, as Mike Mayock said, but there's no doubt it's still an ongoing process. We are trying to work with the team and the league and the union to come up with a solution. We haven't figured it out yet. To say that AB is upset about the decision to not let him wear his helmet is accurate, but we're still processing it and figuring it out. I wouldn't make too much about him not being there today as much as we're still trying to come up with a solution that works for everyone.
Yeah, don't worry about him not being there. Now, excuse me, I have to go to...
Does it still work?
I have to go to my karate class.
Okay, so just correct me if I'm wrong, and maybe, Joe, you know this. The new helmets, do they impede your vision a little more? Is there, like, less... They come lower on your forehead? Like, what exactly is the deal and why is he so pissed off about it?
I'll look into it. Mike, I don't know if you know much about it, but it's just, I know they're just trying to go with a new, I don't know if it's in like the collective bargaining agreement or whatnot, but they're just trying to change the helmet now. So everyone is wearing
the standards are higher. The safety standards are better.
Yeah. And you're also not like allowed to paint a wizard holding a crystal ball in front of it.
Well, Matthew Slater would be upset about that.
No, Matthew Slater just has an ode to Albert Einstein.
But they do make like new helmets.
Tesla
and stuff
was
like that.
Screwed. You know, Slater plays adult hockey, and he has a on his helmet. He does have Tesla got screwed.
Marconi. Is that what it is?
Yeah, it says Marconi Pooey.
I was a big fan of what was the guy's name? Nikolai Tesla?
That's right. You got that much right, you silly goose.
Getting excited for a moment. I thought he was rocking the Great Radio Controversy album.
Maybe he was.
That's a Tesla joke, the hairband. Just throwing it out there.
See, we went to the scientist Nikolai Tesla.
right.
And then went to the band Tesla.
Why not? Listen, you know,
all right,
love will find a way.
Well, listen. Well, I hope it does.
There's signs. Everywhere there's signs.
You got to wear these new helmets is the big sign.
To answer the question, the shoot helmets have three issues with it that are on the ban list, and that's why they're going away from the shoot helmets.
So. Okay. I mean, they changed the microphones at the station. I think I'm going to quit radio.
Can we just quickly put that in perspective? That clip right there. So they were doing a 60-minute special on Drew Rosenhaus, like the busiest agent and all that. During the camera following around, he insisted on them following him to one of his big karate lessons. And like your 8-year-old who signs up, they had him breaking like bricks for the camera. And he's like, what are you, 8?
No, yeah.
Why are you doing
all this? The 12-year-olds had to leave the room.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.